Hello, friends. Today is an historic day in DTNS history.
Dun, dun, dun.
Da, 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 da.
For the first time ever.
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 We will have just the two daily hosts and producer on the show.
Yes, it's
we've
the
had
triad.
Just the host and producer do the show out of desperation.
Oh, geez, thanks, Tom.
No, it's not about you. It's just like, oh, that's only two people. But yeah, now for the first time since Sarah's on, it's just gonna be the us.
Just gonna be the three full timers. Which is not to say that we prefer it this way.
No.
But it is just a milestone of
it is exactly kind.
Yeah.
Just the two.
I mean, if we preferred it this way, we probably would have done it before the 25th of the month.
Right. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
October 25th. What in the heck? Tom and Roger and I were talking about everybody's holiday schedules yesterday, and I wanted to be like, geez, aren't we a little ahead of ourselves? And then I realized, nah,
no,
it's
really.
Thanksgiving in 1 month. My goodness.
Yeah.
Everything moves so fast.
Oh, it's just flying by.
Slow down.
It moves faster as you get older.
You gotta make
sure does.
CES. It kind of worries me a little bit. I don't know why.
Yes, it seems like only yesterday I was worried about whether Patreon money was going to make it. And now we've had Sarah on the show for 25 days.
It is. Isn't it like the
it's
weirdest?
Crazy.
Like, honestly, Sarah, it feels just like yesterday that we started the entire Patreon mm-hmm. level.
I know.
But it's been 2 months.
And then there's those things like, I mean, silly things like the fridge filter needed replacing yesterday. And I'm like,
I just replaced it.
I know, but it was 6 months ago.
I replaced mine. Man, they charge you a pretty penny. $45.
What is a fridge replacement?
Fridge
filter.
If you have water.
Oh, for like water.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have the built-in ice.
Fancy fridges where you get water right out of there,
mm-hmm.
huh? I had one of those at my last place in San Francisco. Oh, those were the days.
That's livid.
My apartment, my little beach pad is very adorable in many ways. The kitchen is not
one
of
them.
It's not a modern kitchen.
I think that's a hallmark of rentals is that
yeah.
the last thing that a landlord wants to spend money updating is the kitchen, but it's the first thing that a new home seller
will
you know, the realtors will be like, "Oh, remodel the kitchen." It's the biggest splash, you know, it'll get people to want to bid. But if you're renting it, you're like, oh, I don't want to spend that money.
Well,
right.
Let me ask you this. As a renter, did your place come with a fridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
I've never had to like get my own fridge.
As a renter, I've never had to do that. No.
When we were looking at rentals, there's a bunch of places that said you had to bring your own fridge.
Really?
Like, I've no seen fridge. That before. I've never had to deal with it, but
I've actually, I've looked at a place that was like that, but I never actually ended up renting a place that was like that.
And the place we bought, they took the fridge.
Well, that
hey,
that's
what
normal.
Is just curiosity mm-hmm. Because we're going to talk about a certain episode. Why do people talk about it being episode 1000, but we're in the 3000s in the numbers?
Ha! Have I not explained this to you?
You have not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so when we
start, it's not like keeping me up at night, but I am curious.
Sure. No, and there might be a couple other people out there who haven't heard this either. When we started the show, I was talking to Darren Kitchen. This is in December, so before I started the show.
Uh-huh.
I was talking to Darren Kitchen, and he was like, man, just think of how many episodes of a daily show you've done. You should start DTNS with a number that combines Buzz Out Loud and Tech News Today's episode numbers to kind of, you know, show that that's how many you've done. And it's not accurate. I didn't go back and go, okay, well, I was on vacation on this episode, so I'm not.
But it's just sort of like a cumulative.
Yeah.
The same
so I took
thing we've been doing for, okay.
The episode number of the last Buzz Out Loud I did, plus the episode number of the last TNT that I did, and added them together. And that's the episode number of the first DTNS.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. That's, I mean, I wouldn't have thought to do that, but that's cool. So how close are we to 1,000?
I think we passed it last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this is the other thing.
Happy anniversary, everybody.
I got, when first time, Buzz Out Loud, when it hit 100 episodes and 1,000 episodes, and East Meets West, when it hit 100 episodes, I was all, woo, 100 episodes. I am not as excited by episode numbers these days, because I'm like, they're kind of just, I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just a random number. So I'm like, let's celebrate years. Let's celebrate, you know, the show has been on for 4 years, 5 years.
Right, right.
So, yeah. I think that's a more sensible. I guess it's just as random, you know, it's the earth going around the sun, whatever. But
when I was doing Crunch Report over at TechCrunch, which was a Monday through Friday show, and I didn't even start it at the first, you know, when I first started working there, but I started it, you know, before the half of the year. And yeah, we got to 100 episodes pretty quick. And a couple of the folks who worked on the video team were like, we have to do, like, we have to get a cake and, you know, it's a big deal. And I was like, guys, then it's just going to be 200. It's going to be 300. It's not that I get why it sounds cool, but it's like, you get to that point pretty quick.
Yeah. And I hate to sound so jaded about it, but to me, it's like doing it for years is something we all share. Episode numbers are kind of like, well, it's 100 of a daily is not as impressive as 100 of a weekly, really. But, or is it? Because, you know, and to me, it's like, you know what? You've been doing it for 5 years. That's something.
I agree with you. Well, especially since we have somewhat arbitrary numbers.
That's why I'm only celebrating my birthday at integrals of 5 from now on.
I will celebrate every time I can get a discount from somewhere.
Where are those places? I'd like to know.
Denny's. Doesn't Denny's give you like a discount? Like if it's your birthday, you
go there. I don't want to go to Denny's on my birthday though.
That's my problem. It's like, yeah, I'm sure
Denny's. Like, that's not what I think of doing. Mm. Denny's is more of an everyday place than a birthday place.
There are places that give you discounts on your birthday though. That's true.
Oh, Farrell's. Farrell's I would go to. They used to put the little sparkler candles in your ice cream.
You know, I just had a birthday earlier this month, and Heather Frank, who Tom and Roger and I used to work with, she and I went out to a lunch after we finished DTNS that day, and which was really nice. And I had a couple errands to do, and because everybody's really nice, you know, the texts are kind of coming in, and people going, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing tonight? And I was like, nothing. I already went to a birthday lunch, had work. I mean, and then you kind of get that, like, why aren't you doing anything? It's like, did you want to throw me a party? Because I'm just going to chill. That's what sounds like a good birthday to me. Go to bed at 8:30. If I'm lucky, I'll sleep 8 hours.
8 hours.
That's a birthday party.
You know, I can't do that anymore. For some reason, my body says, like, you got to wake up and do something. Like, you're relaxing or lagging on something.
Oh, if you sleep too much?
Yeah, like I feel like I'm totally forgetting to do something.
Oh.
I've gotten into a... You all right, Tom?
Yeah, I'm fine. Sorry, I'm trying to log in, and it gave me this long-ass CAPTCHA thing, and then it logged me into the wrong place.
Oh.
Because I didn't...
CAPTCHAs are... I've had some weird CAPTCHAs lately. Yeah, I've gotten into this weird habit where... Well, it's not a weird habit, it's just a bad habit where... I'm watching, you know, a movie or TV or catching up on something. And let's say it's like 9, 10 p.m. And I'm kind of starting to nod off on the couch a little bit. And it's just, you know, my eyes get tired, whatever. And so it's like, okay, it's time to go to bed, you know, get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, you know, put some PJs on, you know, do the whole routine. And in the course of that, I've woken back up. And then I'm in bed and I can't sleep again, even though I was like really tired on the couch moments before. And sometimes that lasts for a couple of hours before I go back to sleep. And it's like, why don't I don't know. Am I supposed to just sleep on the couch all the time?
Boy, I must really appear to be a robot.
No comment.
What are you trying to say there, Lane?
Nothing.
Oh my God, really? Keep select. I feel like I'm doing the VoIP Conf test.
I put my initials by the message, by the way. Just
oh, yeah. No, that's good.
Cool. Cool. So what's going on in the world? I'm going to ask IRC. Chat realm, I have done nothing today but focus on tech for my own well-being. What's happening in the world?
I'm going to start broadcasting. Hello, everybody. Have you heard the news?
What's the good word?
What's Bird. The word on the street? Tomorrow on Tech Thing, they'll review the Google Home Mini. They've got thoughts on Canary security camera removing free features, crack updates, and more. By crack, I think they mean the Wi-Fi vulnerability. At least I hope so.
One of these days, I'm going to be able to call out all of our stuff, my little copy at the end of the show, without looking at it. I'm still afraid I'm going to miss something, so I keep looking at it. But it's like, pretty much know what I'm saying at this point. Never changes. Email address, when are we live, how do you watch live, and our website. Shoot, see? I'm not quite there yet.
Oh, our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC.
Exactly. Like, it's like, this. I'm close. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm close.
Yeah.
But I'm still like, oh, I don't want to miss something, such as dailytechnewsshow.com. Seems obvious, but it's happened before.
You could rephrase, too.
That's true. Ad-lib. I could.
Basically, just want to tell people, email, time, watch, website.
Please.
Email, time, watch, website.
Right. That's right.
E-twa is the way to remember it. Email time, watch website. Well, oh. Also, even though I've been saying it for 3+ years, I've also changed it multiple times.
Well, and I like the idea of changing it. It's like I just have to feel as though.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta learn it before you
can.
You gotta learn the rules before you can break the rules.
That's right. Yeah, this podcast separate from DTNS. Our project here that I'm working on. I'm kind of helping coach some hosts that are first-time hosts. Mm-hmm. Just kind of ask good interview questions and be present. And my advice is always like, just know your bullet points. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to memorize anything because that'll just throw you off and it'll take you out of the moment. Like, just know what your bullet points are. And if you know them, then you can even reorder them. And it'll, you know, so it's like I'm just needing to take my advice.
You don't want it to sound like, I'm Tom Merritt, and I approve this message.
No, or that it has to be in some sort of order. It's like, you just know what you want to cover, and then you get there organically, which is not always super easy to advice to follow, but it is the advice I always follow.
Although, one thing I like about Prompter is when you're doing sound checks, reading it backwards, because it's fun.
Reading the prompter backwards?
Yeah.
I've never done that.
Currency app in purchase to ability. The with free B will game, though.
That's Tom stuff. No one wants to do that except you. that's not a thing anyone else
no
wants.
No one wants to do that, Merritt. No,
that's not a thing.
Although we got like half a dozen emails of people who wanted to do the same playlist, crazy playlist thing. So,
you know what I would really like to do is, you know, I could buy a teleprompter. You know, because I want, you know, one with a real mirror and, you know, I don't want to fake it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can always tell. And there are lots of not super expensive options on the market. But even the ones that I've used over time, they kind of got janky software and there's something wrong. But teleprompter just opens up possibilities of little home studios a ton. But I've thought about kind of DIYing it. And I remember way back in the day, if you guys remember when Morgan Webb had her independent podcast called Web Alert.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was even a podcast, but it was a daily show. Mm-hmm. Web Alert, she had built her own teleprompter because she's crafty.
Yeah.
And I should really ask her because I remember hearing the details about it. This is 100 years ago now. And being like, wow, good for you.
Yeah,
you really saved some money.
Ayaz Akhtar did one with a CD case that was pretty damn good.
Iaz would be another really good person to ask because he's great at that stuff.
The one I have is just you put an iPad in it, and otherwise it's a normal enclosure with a mirror.
Yeah, but like you still have to buy the mirror enclosure part.
Yeah,
of
but
it.
That's not that expensive.
Well,
we should start the show.
But send me a link. Okay.
We'll talk.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Do you like listening to advertisements? Me neither. Want to help and support creators directly? Then head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support and help us reach our new milestone today.
This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt at DTNS headquarters in LA.
And at Studio Feline at the beach, I am Sarah Lane.
And joining us is our producer, Roger Chang.
Hello. I'll be controlled at some point.
This is the first time.
Roger gets more and more enthusiastic every day.
Also giving me requests during the show that I should have taken care of before the show. It's the first time since Sarah came on board that it's just been the three of us.
Just the three of us.
We can make it.
We can make it.
If we try. Should we try? Yeah.
Sounds like a sitcom.
All right.
Let's try.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know. Nintendo announced Animal Crossing Pocket Camp for iOS and Android coming in late November. It's a huge franchise for Nintendo, obviously, but it's its first appearance on smartphones. Game will be free with the ability to purchase in-app currency.
Oh, in-app currency purchases. Cisco and Google announced a cloud services partnership centered around Google's Kubernetes container orchestration tool and the Istio service mesh for connecting and securing microservices across clouds. Early customers will get access in the first half of 2018, and it'll hit the broader market in the second half of the year.
Just real quickly, it's always weird to think of Google as the up-and-comer in a space, having to partner to get a leg up on the competition, but it's essentially what they're doing here to take on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon really holds has the foothold in the cloud services market, at least right now.
Yeah, but Microsoft Azure and Amazon Web Services, that's who they're gunning for. All right, here's some more top stories. Microsoft says it will stop manufacturing the Kinect. Alex Kipman, creator of the Kinect, and Matthew Lapson, GM of Xbox Devices Marketing, told Fast Company's co-design that the company will continue support for customers on the Xbox Kinect once the existing retailer stock is depleted, though they didn't talk about continuing tools for developers. But that's it. They're not. Once the retail stock is done, there will be no more Kinects. Kinect's version 4 and version 5 sensors do power Microsoft's augmented reality HoloLens headset, so it does live on. In fact, it has survived not only by the HoloLens, but elements of it went into Cortana. Voice recognition was in the Kinect. Windows Hello, with the ability to recognize your face. An expected grandchild coming soon called Gaze. It's an interface thing. And, of course, its distant cousin, Face ID.
A lot of people have been like, oh, wow, Kinect, going the way of the dodo. And it's like, it just sounds like Microsoft feels that it has sold the bulk of the units, which were quite a few. I think it was like somewhere in the 30 millions since it was introduced back in, 2010? And it's figured out how to integrate Kinect's technology into the products that it cares about.
Yeah.
It's not so much a death as a evolution.
Well, it's odd because they really leveraged a lot of the Xbox One on the Kinect 2, which was something was a big selling point. Didn't really go over well with the gaming audience because they saw it as an unnecessary, costly addition. And Microsoft spent a lot of time integrating other services into it. For example, Skype. And what's very interesting is they updated Xbox One, and now it supports most USB webcams. Mm-hmm. So you could, I plug in the one I'm using right now, and I can see myself on via Skype on my Xbox One. So it's curious to see if this means that they've pretty much like, okay, it was a good idea. We thought it was a good idea. It didn't work out that way. Let's just take what we can from it and move forward and never talk about it again.
Yeah, I mean, when they made you get a Kinect with the first round of Xbox One, a lot of people thought that was unnecessary. Then when they made it optional, it seemed to me like, oh, okay, so if you want those cool features, great. Now it sounds like you don't really need the Kinect to get the features, so we're just not going to make it anymore. And it's not a loss. Like I said, they have all these other products, and Sarah, you mentioned that too. They have all these other products that it went into.
Well, the in-home delivery landscape gets slightly more complicated today.
Slightly more in your home.
It's slightly more in your home. Amazon has announced the Key for Prime, Amazon Prime customers, which is a service that allows a courier, an Amazon courier, to unlock your front door and drop off a package inside. A new Alexa-enabled gadget called Cloud Cam acts as the security camera in this case, allows Amazon to decide when to open your house for delivery. Cloud Cam captures 1080p video, has night vision, has two-way audio, saves clips from the last 24 hours via the Amazon Cloud Cam app, so you can kind of look and see who's been at your doorstep. The Cloud Cam is $199.99 on its own, or $249 bundled with a smart lock.
Pre-ordered. Wait, isn't it $120? $119? $19.99?
Oh, what did I say?
I think you said $199.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, $120 on its own, or $249 if you're bundling it with a smart lock. So pre-orders are now open for availability on November 8th.
Yeah, so this is interesting because essentially they're introducing two products, but one of the products is in both.
The key product is basically, this is just sort of a new service.
The Cloud Cam
is the hardware that would sort of.
Yeah, the Cloud Cam is a Nest Cam competitor. And forget in-home delivery. It is a cheaper service. I think it's like $70 a year for the cloud recording service, which is much cheaper than Nest Cam. It's $120 on its own, so it's competitively priced there. That's a product that's interesting just on its own, that Amazon's getting into that. Then you add it as the hub, like you said. It's the hub for this door lock. The door lock uses Zigbee to connect to the Cloud Cam, and then the Cloud Cam can authorize, like, yes, in fact, we know that an Amazon delivery person is at your door, so yes, it's okay to unlock for just that Amazon delivery person. And of course, in the video, they just show them like, oh, we just pull the door open a little bit and shove the package in. We won't walk around inside and, you know.
And how does it know? Like, does the Amazon courier have like a QR code on their hat?
They scan the box, and then they're in the presence of the door, and so the box says, well, you should be at this address, and then the Amazon Cam, the Cloud Cam says, yep, this is the right address. So we were expecting that package. It all checks out. You can unlock temporarily.
But what about somebody who like tackles the Amazon courier on the way to your front door, takes the package, and is like dressed appropriately? Well, I'm being a little hysterical, but I mean, I think that there's just weird privacy concerns here where people are like, what? Amazon courier, sure. Most of the time they want nothing to do with anything inside your house, but
The Cloud Cam, which lets you watch live. So it'll like pop up on your phone like, hey, Amazon delivery person's there if you want to watch.
Watch him walk off with all your valuables.
You'd
know who it was. Amazon vets their employees so they'd be able to tell who was supposed to be there. I mean, if they go to the trouble of like knocking out an Amazon employee and then sneaking in, my guess is you have other valuables at risk, and you'd probably have a security system, which brings up the question we talked about on the morning stream. How does this work if you have an actual home security system? I don't think it would.
Yeah, at least at this point, I don't believe it hooks into anything like that at all. I watched this morning as the announcement, people started reading the announcement being like, hell no, I wouldn't use this. That's crazy. And it's like, I actually am not that weirded out by the idea of an Amazon courier opening my door and putting a package inside, particularly because I live in an apartment building and it's like really hard to get packages delivered. I always have to sign for stuff and, you know, that would be actually pretty convenient. It's more like just the reality of having somebody open the door. Like, what if the courier drops his keys and the doors open and my cats get freaked out and they run out? It's like, just seems kind of clunky.
If you have no security system or pets, maybe it works.
Yeah.
And again, it's only Amazon delivery people. They're not allowing third-party delivery people in yet.
Right.
So they're keeping strict control over who would be able to use this. It only works with a package that you're expecting. And you can use it with Amazon Home Services to let the maid in and stuff like that, but that's no different than giving the maid a key. So it's kind of, that's less of a strange thing for people if they have maids.
It also assumes you have a certain kind of walk up to the front door with a little entryway type of a situation. I mean, for somebody in an apartment situation like mine, what would I have a whole nother one at the front door entry for everybody else? Like, it, you know, it's more of kind of a suburban solution.
So if you have no security system, you live in a suburban home or an apartment that doesn't have an external door access, and you have no pets to worry about, this is great. Check it out. Coming November 8th. Bloomberg has a detailed report of the supply chain issues that may be constraining production of the iPhone X. Samsung, you know, the headline on this report has to do with Face ID, but honestly, this is a really interesting description of how the sensors are made and who's making them and what those supply chain issues are. Samsung's yield of OLED screens has been reported before as one potential holdup, and they mentioned that here. But another is the 3D sensor. The dot projector is the part of the sensor that maps your face. It does like 30,000 dots on your face, and it's made of a vertical cavity surface emitting laser, or VC cell, and a wafer level optic lens. Now, there are supply issues with the people making those two parts, but the big bottleneck is LG Innotek and Sharp. They're the folks that combine these two parts, and they're very fragile. And you have to combine them just right so they don't break and they work. And both these companies are having problems with yield. And so they slowed down, at least Bloomberg sources say, they slowed down production to meet the requirements for precision that Apple had put. Now, here's where the headline comes in. A source told Bloomberg that Apple relaxed some of those specifications for precision, which helped speed up the testing time, which helped improve the yields. And now LG Innotek is above 50% usable yield, and Sharp will be there soon. However, Bloomberg reported this as a reduction in accuracy of Face ID, and Apple very uncharacteristically spoke out. Apple spokeswoman Trudy Muller said to Bloomberg, "Bloomberg's claim that it reduced the accuracy spec for Face ID is completely false, and we expect Face ID to be the new gold standard for facial authentication. The quality and accuracy of Face ID haven't changed." Now, first of all, that's news that Apple responded to something that was a rumor. That almost never happens. But second of all, they said the claim that it reduced the accuracy is completely false. But if you read the story closely, that's just in the summary lines at the beginning. What the source actually told Bloomberg was Apple relaxed some of the specs. There may have been some specifications that Apple said, you know what, those aren't actually integral to the accuracy of Face ID. You can skip those. Maybe they're necessary for a future feature, or maybe they're just extra cautious. Go ahead and skip those and speed up your yield. I think what Apple's saying is Face ID is going to be just as accurate as we said, but they're not necessarily denying that they changed the specs.
I mean, they're not mutually inclusive. Just because you alter the specs doesn't mean that the precision of their Face ID application doesn't work. And it could work. And like you could say, it could have been future-proofing some things they had down the road that they may have to rethink because they loosened up. And you know what? This is something that more than just Apple does. I mean, car companies do this all the time because there's a point where you're like, well, we can get by with maybe not having the tolerances this tight. Car still works. People are going to drive. People are going to buy it. What's the harm?
No, absolutely. And I get the sense that that's what's going on. Bloomberg is fairly good at this sort of thing. Apple doesn't want people to think the Face ID is not going to work because they're banking on it being better than fingerprint authentication. So they have to say something about it. And I think in the end, they're probably both right. Apple's probably right that Face ID is not going to be worse. And I bet Bloomberg sources are right that, you know what, they tweaked the specs to make it faster, because anybody who's seen specs knows there are often specs where you're like, I don't really need to be doing this part of the test. It doesn't really matter. And Apple may have decided, okay, you're right. You can skip those parts. The whole question will be, are they wrong? Are those specs that did matter?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
On the heels of a blockchain test by IBM and JP Morgan in the South Pacific, so that's in countries like Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, and Vanuatu, MasterCard is releasing an API to help banks make payments across international borders faster as well. However, it's not like IBM's system, because MasterCard's system only uses the blockchain distributed ledger to register and record transactions faster. IBM is actually using a cryptocurrency called Lumen to store value in transit. MasterCard will settle transactions in local flat currencies. We were having a conversation about this earlier. Like, why is MasterCard not sort of going all the way with this? My suggestion was they probably have, this is sort of a stopgap solution to be like, we like the blockchain without really taking advantage of it while they might be figuring out some sort of a longer term solution.
Yeah, it's a very cautious way of doing it. Generally, when you do a blockchain, you have some kind of cryptocurrency token. It doesn't have to have value. You don't have to issue Bitcoin or anything like that. The Lumen doesn't have any value on its own. It's just a token that's used to store value. It's in some ways no different than a check, right? A check is not actually $100. It's a token that stands in place for that. And so the Lumen cryptocurrency is kind of like that. I'm oversimplifying, but that's the idea. So MasterCard is taking away one of the advantages. One of the advantages of using the coin like that means you don't have to keep cash reserves online to transfer the money because you don't have to convert it across international borders. I don't have to take Polynesian francs and convert them into Australian dollars on one end and then send the Australian dollars or vice versa. I can just send the Lumen, then it gets converted over on the other end. That saves a lot of money. That saves a lot of time. What MasterCard's doing is saying, you know what? We're just not going to use the coin. We'll just use the advantages of a publicly readable, verifiable ledger to do what we normally do, which is deal in fiat currency. And so it isn't going to be as fast as IBM's, my guess, but it also is much more friendly to current regulatory, because there may be some new regulations coming down the line about using these tokens, and MasterCard is avoiding that.
Yeah.
Finally, Kaspersky has released preliminary findings of an investigation into allegations that Kaspersky software was used to copy code belonging to the U.S. NSA's Equation Group. Remember, Wall Street Journal reported this a while back. Kaspersky says, this is very interesting to me, that an NSA employee was running Kaspersky antivirus on a home PC alongside a pirated copy of Office, a keygen that was being used to fake the validation for the pirated copy, was infected with a Trojan. So when the user scanned to remove the Trojan using Kaspersky antivirus, the Kaspersky security network kicked in. The Kaspersky security network is used to combat advanced persistent threat. It's on the lookout for threat data. It noticed that on this PC, in the course of its scan that was authorized by the user, there was a 7-zip file with some weird malware in it. So it collected a copy of that malware, which it is allowed to do. That's how antivirus works. That's how this kind of network works. When it was reviewed by Kaspersky lab personnel, it was discovered to be NSA Equation Group malware. CEO Eugene Kaspersky ordered the malware deleted and claims it was not shared with any third parties. So your reaction to this can be, sure, it wasn't. He turned it over to the Russian government. That's the end of this story. That's not what Kaspersky says, but who knows? If he did turn it over to the Russian government, he wouldn't say so. You can almost guarantee that. The other hand, you could say, this guy had NSA data on a personal PC that was running a pirated copy of Office that had malware. There's no reason another third party couldn't have got in there and stolen that data as well. And that's how it ended up in the hands of the Russian government.
It depends on how much you really believe Kaspersky.
Yeah. That's all it comes down to.
It's Kaspersky's preliminary findings of Kaspersky's alleged, you know.
And I'm not to say like.
Okay. Doesn't mean the company's lying at all. It also doesn't look good for this NSA employee if indeed there was a pirated copy of Windows that had, you know, malware involved, and that's how this whole thing, you know, got blown out of proportion. It's like, well, somebody did something pretty dumb here. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's sort of like what Tom mentioned the other day. It's like, is Kaspersky at fault of anything besides being a Russian company? I don't know.
There's multiple things at play. I mean, and you could, you know, you take in the nationality, but you also take in the fact that potentially whoever you know was the root causes, it had been NSA contractor or not. I mean, it's
a lot of the NSA is never going to come in here and say this happened. Yeah. So we can forget about that. You're going to be left to your own devices to decide.
This is literally a choose your own adventure.
Yes. Did the government get this on their own, which is perfectly possible, or did they have help from Kaspersky, which is also perfectly possible?
You know, if you believe this, turn the page to 231. If you don't believe this, turn to page 189.
Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day, turn to dailytechheadlines.com. You can get them in about 5 minutes. They come to you as a podcast or on your Amazon Echo or on your Google Home or on your Anchor app at anchor.fm. And that's a look at our top stories. Now, this morning in the Daily Tech Headlines, Sarah, you had this story about the city of Honolulu approving a bill stating no pedestrian shall cross a street or highway while viewing a mobile electronic device.
That's right. Yeah. The whole idea is that, and this is something that had been introduced as a bill, the mayor's office basically approved it as of, I think, tomorrow it would go into effect. And what it means is if you're crossing a street or a highway or, you know, some sort of road and you're looking at your device and you get caught, you're not going to go to jail or anything, but you are going to get a $35 fine. If you get in trouble again, that fine mostly doubles to $75. Then it goes up to $99. So it's like, you know, getting a parking ticket. But it's the first time that a city has been like, we got problems. Too many people are looking at their phones. It's a traffic hazard. It's, you know, you're putting not only yourself in danger, but motorists who are hoping that you're paying more attention. And a lot of people are saying, well, people deserve it. If looking at their phones while they're crossing the street, because there's just too much at risk. And I wonder how many other cities will follow suit.
I wonder how much of a... how much this is going to dissuade people because of several things. First of all, to some people, $35 won't seem that bad and they don't think they'll get caught. So they'll say, if I have to pay $35 once a year, whatever, right? I'm just not going to worry about it.
Well, it's only the $35 the first time and then you're fine.
Double, but they just, they don't think they're going to get caught. So, so they're, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily even rational. Then there's the fact that I'll be honest, probably, and my Hawaiian friends and viewers can write in and tell me if this is true or not. Probably this is caused by tourists in Waikiki who aren't looking at their phones, but also don't pay attention when they're crossing the street. So it only gets worse when
big tourist hub.
And those tourists are not going to necessarily be aware of this. I mean, I'm sure the state, that city of Honolulu will do great work at trying to make people aware of it and putting up signs and everything, but people don't read signs. So I just wonder how much of an effect it really has.
There are also some exceptions. It's like, if you're talking on the phone, you got your phone up to your ear and somehow it like kind of seems like you're looking at your phone, whatever. Talking on your phone and having a physical phone up to your head, if you're not looking at it and you're not being distracted, that's still not a problem. There are other exceptions. If you're a paramedic, if there's an emergency situation, you're not going to get a fine because you were looking at your phone trying to save somebody and you got to run across the street. But it's also like, well, you know, we all know texting and driving or looking at your phone and driving is a really bad thing. But I see people do it every day. And I also know multiple people who have gotten tickets for doing that, who've been caught in the act, especially up in San Francisco. And the fine is a lot more than $35, but they're still doing it because that's the way of the world for some folks. And yeah, I also remember last summer when Pokemon Go was all the rage. And I know some people still play Pokemon, but last summer it was a really big deal. And it was like a bunch of zombies walking around my neighborhood, you know, just like wandering into traffic, not even paying attention. Like it really heightened the idea that if you're not paying attention, someone is going to hit you and kill you in their car. So it's like, all kidding aside, it can be a life or death situation. And pedestrians, although everyone must yield to pedestrians at all times. If you're in a big piece of machinery, you still have to be responsible as well.
Yeah, the pedestrian is always right. However, it's no consolation to be right and lying in the hospital. So,
no.
Yeah, or worse. I don't know. I'm not saying it's wrong to pass this rule or even have these fines necessarily. I just don't know how much it's really going to change anything. Looking around New York this past weekend, everybody there was FaceTiming and walking down the street. Like, not even just texting and reading things on their phone. There are plenty of people doing that. But I saw so many people, like, talking and looking and having a conversation in person, quote unquote, yeah, with their phone while they're walking along. It's just so distracting.
Which is a whole other conversation, but it's like, who are all these people who want to FaceTime?
I know, right? Like,
I do not want to do that. I don't want you to see me. I don't want to hold my arm up. I don't like anything about it.
Well, thankfully, autonomous cars will come along and make this all moot because they'll all watch out for us and stop.
There you go. There you go.
Thank goodness. And hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and talk about what you think about texting and walking while seated at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Okay, we got an email from Jonathan who says it's starting to feel like fall where he is in Columbus, Ohio. How nice for you, Jonathan, as we all melt here in Los Angeles. He writes, I was just listening to the discussion in episode 3144 about security and privacy concerns regarding AI and kids' toys. So that was yesterday's show. And that discussion dipped a toe into the area of psychological development. The timing of the discussion was uncanny because the TED Radio Hour had just released a podcast episode about the power and importance of play in our lives as children and adults. Jonathan says, not to go into too many details, but it's worth considering as toy companies all race to build the coolest toy that kids want to play with, they could also be creating serious impediments to a child's growth in the area of empathy, creativity, socialization, and problem solving.
Yes. So all true. He says, and referring to my chubby checker pillow story from yesterday, he says, chubby checker probably provides far more benefit than a dog named Ibo. Now, I haven't listened to this TED Radio Hour, and they do good stuff there, but I don't think anybody studied this. The MIT study we were talking about yesterday is one of the first pilots into let's find out if there's an effect. And we often, as a species, jump to the conclusion that new technology is bad because common sense, when it turns out it's not. Or in like the case of television, like it can have good effects when used this way and bad effects when used this way. So it kind of reminds me of the screen time conversations that we've had on the show before about the benefits of a tablet for a child, but when is it too early for them and why you should limit the time that they have. And I think we're probably on the road to coming up with sensible rules around AI. I bet there are AI toys that will prove to be very beneficial under certain conditions. And we should study it to learn what those conditions are.
You know, in our DKNS boss's Slack earlier today with the Patreons of a certain level participate in and love you guys, somebody had asked me, hey, well, if you know, the Sony's new Ibo was smart enough to take care of your cats when you're out of town, would you want that? And I was like, yeah, it's kind of complicated, though, because it's like medicine and food and litter and the whole thing. But then I started to think like, huh, okay, well, that's just for me. I don't have any kids in my house. But if it could also work almost like a babysitter / somebody to make snacks / you know, that sort of thing for a kid, that opens up a whole other conversation, right? Not so much about empathy, but about childcare.
Roger.
But that's another conversation.
Oh, no, I was about to say the ultimate AI toy for a child would probably be a sibling. It would be like an artificial sibling.
Artificial sibling that can make snacks and babysit. Yeah. All right, folks, thank you for supporting the show. That's the only way we're able to fund it because of you. You guys are the best. Whether you support us at patreon.com/DTNS or you support us on PayPal, a bunch of people do it that way. We love that you are the only people we are answerable to. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being so generous. Even if it's just a dollar a month, it means the world to us. And we want to support our Friday artist, Len Peralta. Every year he's been doing an end of year DTNS poster. And this year is no exception. It's inspired by The Last Jedi. It has myself, Roger, and Sarah on it. And if you're one of the lucky people who get your order in right away, you can get your name in the credits on the poster. He's only got 14 slots left. So go to LenPeraltaStore.com and check it out.
It's a wonderful poster, if I do say so myself, with all of us in it. So just, it's good. It's good stuff. If you haven't seen it yet, just check it out. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. If you've got a question, you got a comment, you like something we said before, you didn't, you have a suggestion on a topic to cover in the future, Send it in. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern or 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And of course, our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
We shall return tomorrow, and Justin Robert Young will join us. Talk to you then. Woo.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Woo! Doodle-doo.
Great show. What should we call it?
What should we call that show? Sorry, it was so weird.
What happened to your internet there?
Well, I don't know. It was right when, luckily, hopefully it was kind of seamless for everybody else.
Yeah, it was.
As soon as you started to get into the Face ID explanation, you just froze. And then Google Hangout said, browser shut down.
Oh.
Get out of Google Hangout. So I just had to restart Chrome.
Gotcha. It might have auto-updated.
What's that?
It might have. The browser might have auto-updated.
Possibly. It was fine once I got back in. But it did take a minute. I had to restart a couple times.
Titles, DTNS, the sitcom. Amazon Key allows for Amazon theft. Hawaii erupts over new texting law. See what they tried to do there. Apple has altered the specs. Pray that it doesn't offer them further in a borrowing from Darth Vader to Lando Calrissian as he gives up Han Solo. Just the three of us. Microsoft disconnects. Disconnecting Connect. Who let the dogs out? Don't text and walk in Hawaii.
Somebody suggests who let the dogs out every day. I feel like no I hear way. That one over and over.
I didn't even know that was a big song outside of the U.S.
I mean, I had forgotten
it's
it was
a worldwide hit, Roger. Come yeah. on.
Really?
It's kind of like I'm Macarena, so you know? Everybody loves that song.
Or Despacito. Everyone loves macaroni.
It's our generation's Despacito.
Oh, that's such a sad commentary on our period. Don't text and walk in Hawaii. Coming soon to a street near you. Don't text and walk bra. Using the little pigeon Hawaiian. What's the word on the street? Accuracy, inaccuracy, fake ID. If you don't believe Kaspersky, turn to page.
Kaspersky.
That's right.
That's what I do.
Kaspersky.
That's Kaspersky. It's my big.
For every time I mispronounce that, someone needs to send me some Perosky.
That would encourage you, though, I would think.
Well, it no? would feed me one.
Yeah. Then you would keep mispronouncing. So it's every time you say it right, they should send you a pierogi.
No, not a pierogi, a Perosky.
A Perosky. Two different things.
No, they're pretty much.
No, a pierogi is a dumpling. A Perosky is stuffed bread.
Perosky is a small dumpling.
No.
That's why it's shki at the end.
Oh, please send in your emails about pierogi versus pierogi.
The great controversy.
And we will do a special.
DTNS Labs.
This is what I'm talking about, Tom, and you can tell me how it's pronounced.
Listen, I should admit here that Joe the pilot wrote in and told us a story about how he was in a car wreck, and he was fine, everybody was fine, but one of the cars had a baby on board sign, and the first responders were paying attention to that and making sure there wasn't actually a baby, which there wasn't. The sign was there, but the baby wasn't. But so there you go. Totally wrong. Pierogies.
Yeah. So how do you pronounce it?
No, it's pierogi and pierogi. They're two different words.
But one's a stuff, one's a bread. The other one is like in a.
DTNS Kitchens with Darren Kitchen.
Guys, this whole right. food thing, we might be onto something.
I think we are.
I have some grievances about some snacks that I bought at the market the other day, but I'll save that.
You're
for
not going to say which market so you don't impugn their
well,
their
no, it was Whole Foods owned by Amazon.
Ah, I see.
That's my market of choice. I enjoy going to Whole Foods. I enjoy it there, but I had
do we need a new milestone level for you to be able to continue shopping there?
To continue the story? Yeah. What are my grievances? Please donate.
Their chicken is disappointing. I'm sorry. Their roast chicken is disappointing.
I need a title.
I ever buy anything that's already cooked there. I do buy raw chicken from Whole Foods here and there.
Hawaii erupts over new texting law, or Apple has altered the specs. Pray it doesn't offer them further.
That's so long. It's not bad. It's just long.
Hawaii erupts over new texting law.
I like Amazon. Why did the texter cross the road?
Oh, that's good. I like that one.
Where is that one? Funny. Yeah. Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Mr. Dabalina? Mr. Bob Dabalina?
Yep.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
I know, right?
And it just came right out.
Mr. Bob Dabalina.
Lucy loves that song. Where did you go? I thought she was going to make an appearance today, but new.
Why did the texter cross the road? To get fined on the other side.
There you go. See?
That's a good one.
Oh, it works.
Dad jokes just raining like, down left and right.
There. Texter crossing the road. Texter crossing the road. Yeah, I'll have to think about that one a little bit more.
knock, knock, knock dot, dot, dot. Get it?
Is it because you got hit by a car?
No, it's dot, dot, dot while you're waiting for the text reply.
Oh, you see typing. See, too clever. Didn't get it.
All right, fine.
Hey, I did mention, I don't know if I want to do a whole unboxing thing because it's like, it's actually more like software setup, but I did get it.
Well, show them off, yeah.
Two Sonos Ones.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
One for me and one for you. Oh, that's so nice of you, Sarah.
Not Merry Christmas, Tom. Happy holidays. Whatever you happen to support. But so this is sort of silly. When I, beforehand I was like, ooh, black or white. I don't know. One of each. And now I'm like, that's so dumb. Why didn't I get two that match?
They'll be in different rooms.
Yeah. I guess it's.
And you have this white room, and then, of course, we all know you have your totally black room.
Correct. Well, you know, it's funny. I do, in my actual living room, this is not my actual living room, you know, but the kind of media stand under my TV is black.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I put one of them on top of there, so it actually makes sense.
There you go.
And then the white is maybe slightly more office-y. So I'm super pumped. I'm just going to open it up real quick.
You should put one on to the left of you and one to the right of you, and you can have stereo.
Oh, yeah.
Quadraphonic stereo.
Well, so I am. Sorry.
Where'd you go? Sarah!
I'm here. I'm late to the game with the home assistants. I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Google Home.
Well, now you do.
I know. I don't have an Echo. And I don't know. I just dragged my feet a bit about the whole thing.
I was on the Echo train from the beginning because I thought and I wasn't sure, but I was like, this is too intriguing. I got to try it.
Yeah. Well, I thought to myself, in theory, I was like, I don't want to talk to the air. I just don't want to do it. And then I've got a really good friend who, over at his house plenty, and he's got one. And it's like, I started to watch his interactivity and I was like, this is so cool. You know, you're getting all this cool information. Yeah, this is beautiful. Kind of heavy, kind of Sonos-y. It's nice. Yeah. I have a bunch of Sonos speakers. Not that they can be integrated into this because they don't have microphones, but I've been a bit of a Sonos person for a while now. I like the idea of it hooking up to Alexa and then also Google Home and even maybe Siri future because Sonos kind of, dangled that carrot in front of us. Yeah. And it's on the top. You got your little, I think, sort of volume and play pause.
And that button that's not disabled, unlike the Google Home Mini.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a little Ethernet port here. We got a little on-off switch. I mean, there's not much to it. And all of the, just because Sonos is they're a little behind in this whole arena, but their audio is so good.
Yeah.
You know, they make good speakers and everyone's like, dude, you put one of these, like you can like get rid of your surround sound, which may or may not be true.
I don't know if it's exactly true, but they're pretty good.
They're really good. In a full living room, like the one that I have, you know, my surround sound setup, as cool as it is like total overkill.
Mm-hmm.
So might be nice to pare down a little bit.
Yeah. I've never had the full 5.1 in my house. It's always been soundbar.
I have 3.1. I do not have 5.1. And
it's pretty nice.
It's nice. Say. Yeah. It's great. But
I will say this, you more than often don't use it because you got to turn on your amplifier. And
well, that I don't have a problem with because I got a receiver and the whole thing is I'm used to it. It's just more of like, it's almost like, I don't know, you sort of, it just seems like overkill for most of the stuff that I'm doing.
Because all you watch like, is old Star episodes Wars. Of All in the Family.
Exactly. Real Housewives of Dallas, episode 4, in surround sound is so much better. But
So many cables. Yeah. Wires running all over the place.
Well, I also have, because I'm just lucky this way, there's some sort of strange voltage issue in my unit.
Uh-huh.
So when I first moved in here, which is like a year and a half ago, I set up my whole speed. Like I've got these real nice speakers and I've set it up in multiple apartments. I know exactly how it goes. And I blew out my center speaker immediately. And I was
wow.
What did I do? You know, is something wrong with my, one of my cables, you know? And yeah, it's like, I have these like specialty speakers. You have to take it into like a specialty store and there's like one in LA, but it's not that close by. It was just a nightmare. And then it happened again. And then I realized there's something going on with power in my building. It's not me, it's them. And my landlord has been unhelpful thus far.
You called the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power and said, it's not me, it's you.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that the landlord says, oh, you got to talk to the Department of Water and Power.
Yeah. And that's when
I
say,
Department of Water and Power is like, you can't do anything without your landlord's support.
Yeah. I'm telling my landlord, no, you need to talk to the Department of Water and Power because this is your building.
Yeah. What I've actually, because this is sort of a, I'm making light of a situation I was very upset about some time ago, but it sounds like a good power conditioner might actually save me. And that we're not talking about just like a, you know, like
not
a
just a
strip,
power strip,
but like a full on, like, and I can like rack mount it. Mm. And
that
seems to be an issue that other people have had, and that's how they've solved it. So
that's annoying, though, that you have to do that.
It is annoying, but I like my apartment.
If you don't want to spend too much, you can get like a good, decent UPS, and it will probably in some ways be better because it will. Well, depending on the UPS you buy, if it does
conditioning. Yeah. If I could be guaranteed that I wouldn't blow out my center speaker, it's always the center for a third time and have to pay $200 to fix it, then I would. But I've been burned once. Shame on me.
I would make sure and borrow someone else's receiver just to make sure that whatever voltage issue that affected your speaker didn't affect your receiver as well.
No, yeah, I brought the receiver into the audio place. Yeah, and because we were kind of making sure that we hadn't like burned out, I don't know, circuit boards on the inside, and it seemed okay. And I really like my receiver. It's been very good to me. It's this apartment building, darn it.
Mm-hmm.
The price we have to pay.
To live with four walls.
That's right.
And high-end speakers.
So hard.
It's why does life have to be so hard?
So hard.
Well, folks, we are published. Like, we're published authors.
Beautiful.
Yep. Available now in the Amazon bookstore, Bavaria, by Tom Merritt. That's not a joke. It's actually a real book. but we've published the show, and we're done. So, good job, y'all.
You too.
And thank you for watching. As I find the stop broadcast button, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Now, patrons. Bye-bye. Patrons. Let me just tell you. We love you.
That was good. Yeah, patrons, thanks. I got a secret. Gather
it's
out.
It's real important. Yeah,
we appreciate you.
We appreciate you greatly, which is true. We do.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
See you guys.